I have a two-part message today, so next week we'll share the second half of it. I just want to start by reminding you about our last two Sunday morning messages. Last Sunday we heard two devotionals, and the first one is that God is able to do the miraculous, even bringing life to dead or dry bones. And that might be past dreams, past promises, but God's able to do the miraculous. The second part, the second devotional that we had, we were asked the question, what is important to you? What would you give your life to see happen? We were reminded that God's will is not about our comfort. God's will is not about our comfort. And thirdly, that we need to be aware of being led off course by distractions. We need to be aware of being led off course by distractions. And then the week before that, Pastor Kurt talked with us about faith. And that in the midst of surprises and discouragement, God is looking for us to respond in faith. God is looking for us to respond in faith. So I'm going to piggyback on that a little bit today and move forward from there. So I'll start with a little story, a little bit of revealing some things about myself. Nothing extremely personal this morning. But my whole family knows that I don't like violence on TV or in movies. You know, I would much rather like watch a cartoon or a superhero show that it's, you know, I know it's not real. But anything that has violence in it, I just don't do good with. And especially when it's a surprise. So like me and the Home Alone movies, not good. So when the man reaches out and he grabs that doorknob and he's going, ah! I'm going, ah! And they're like, Dad, really? It's a movie. And then he looks at his hand and the shape of the doorknob is burned into his hand. And he's running around screaming and yelling. And I'm going, and then he sticks his hand in the snow and I can almost feel the relief. And then the next scene, we see this guy climbing in through a window and he's in his bare feet. Now that's another whole story, part of the story. But there are broken Christmas ornaments, glass ornaments all over the floor. So he steps in to the window and he goes, ow, ow, ow. Yeah, so the whole time he's doing that, I'm going like this. Dad, really? But I wasn't expecting him to be in his bare feet stepping on glass. And then the worst one is when Kevin drops something on it. You know, so he's walking along and all of a sudden this anvil or whatever it is comes down and whacks him on the head. I actually yell out loud. And they're like, we are so glad we did not take you to the movie theater to see it. So surprises, things that we don't expect, are usually the reason that we experience fear or anxiety. Because if we knew ahead of time it was happening, we would have taken steps to prevent it. Right? And the unexpected surprises seem to be such a normal part of life. I don't like them. I like to be prepared. You know, I'm still the Eagle Scout that, you know, you're prepared for everything. And so back in November, one day I got up on 81 and, you know, up the Newville Way, the speed limit's still 65, and I'm going along at 65, and my low pressure light starts to blink. And I thought, oh, it's been a while since I checked my tire pressure, so I'll do that sometime later today. So I'm going a couple miles further down 81, and I'm on my way to pick up Eliana for the day, my youngest granddaughter. And all of a sudden, things feel a little strange. So I have a button I can press. You know, I They give you all these buttons you're supposed to press while you're driving and paying attention. So I press this button a couple times on my menu, and it shows me that my tire pressure is now down to about 20. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. The unexpected. So I'm thinking the last place you want to pull over with a flat is 81. Because how are you going to do it safely? You can't really get off the road. It was on the driver's side. So yeah, that's where I want to be, you know, with my leg out in the lane, driving lane. So I'm praying, God, just let me make it to the exit. And I think, wait a minute, I'm in Newville. The next exit is not to Allen Road. You know, it's not like Hanover Street, High Street, College Street. They're a half mile apart. So I'm going down the highway, and I'm watching the pressure. 20, 18, 16, 14. Lord, just let me get off the exit. It was 9 as I pulled off the exit. And by the time I got to the bottom of the exit and off. So, the unexpected, right? And I don't know about you, but I have periods of time in my life where I say, God, can I just go 1 week without any surprises? And it's almost like he says, do you remember that week back in November, the week before you had the flat? You had that week. That's not encouraging. So God knows that we have fear and anxiety, and he addresses it over and over again. He tells us what to do with it. And I just love that. So that's what we're going to look at today, is we're going to look at some of the fear nots. Okay, King James says fear not. Most of the other translations say don't be afraid. We need to be reminded of that. So let's look at some of those today. You are welcome to follow along, but you don't have to, because I'm going to keep moving at a pretty good pace. This is in Matthew 10, and it says, what is the price of 2 sparrows? 1 penny. 1 penny is what it costs to buy 2 sparrows to sacrifice in the temple. 1 cent. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. Now, I don't know if you do what I do, but I went, what? Because I'm thinking, there's an awful lot of birds just in my backyard. And you picture all the birds in Pennsylvania, all the birds in the United States. We're talking all the birds in the world. It says one bird cannot fall from the tree without Father God knowing it. So do you think he knows what you're going through today if he knows when a bird falls out of a tree? And the very hairs on your head are numbered. Now wait a minute. So when I shampooed my hair this morning and combed it, and at my age things come out in the comb, oh yay, right Paul? And so, you know, it's almost like God said, well, he used to have 5,000. He's been down to 1,900. There went 1,850. You know, so, but he knows how many hairs. Come on. Really? Knowing those two things, this is what it says. So, don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of birds. If he knows every bird that falls out of a tree, and he knows how many hairs are on your head at any given moment, he says, don't be afraid, because you're more valuable to God. More valuable to God. So fear not. Next one. Like I said, we're just going to keep moving, but I want these to wash over us. Because see, you don't need this maybe this morning, but when you have your next surprise, you need it. So if you can get this built into your mind and into your emotions, it's like, okay, I don't have to be afraid. God knows all about me. He's with me. Okay, Luke 12. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn. Okay, so the ravens don't plant and they don't harvest, but they eat. Yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you? Now, how about this next question? Which of you, by worrying, can add an hour to his lifespan? Sometimes we think if we worry about it and are anxious about it and are concerned about it, we're actually helping. How? I mean, I have to ask myself that. How is all that worrying and anxiety helping? Is it actually adding to my life? And I think what they found out, it actually has the other effect. It's all that stress is not good for you. If then you can't even do that, if you can't add an hour to your life by worrying, why worry? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. So if God so clothes the grass, in other words, if plants are so beautiful and they're alive today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, men of little faith. Ouch. I don't like when he says stuff like that because it applies. Do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink. And don't keep on worrying and being anxious. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father already knows that you need them. Seek first His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Okay, you ready for the next one? This is Zephaniah. You're all in there every day, right? That was your devotions this morning. Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. When do our hands hang limp? When we've given up. When we've just said, I've tried and tried and it's not working. I'm just giving up. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He takes great delight in you, and in his love he will not rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Let me read that in one other version for you. I like it in this one. He wants to strengthen us. Cheer up! Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. And with His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. How do you like that picture? God is so happy about spending time with you that He's singing over you with joyful songs. This next one, we just heard about 2 weeks ago. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, an unexpected, a surprise. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. Terribly frightened. But the angel said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Sometimes we're fearful even when it's a good thing, because it's a surprise, because it's a change, because it's not something that we were expecting to happen. Those angels actually brought good news of a great joy. I'm sorry, those of you that are taking some notes, that was Luke 2. So what do we do when the unexpected happens? What do we do when there's a surprise? What do we do when we feel fear rising up? How does God want us to handle that? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Who loves us perfectly? You can answer. Who? Father God does. So as we spend time in prayer, as we spend time in our devotions, as we spend time in worship, and we come into His presence and we hear Him say that He loves us, what happens to the fear? It goes away. It says perfect love casts it out. So if this is fear between me and the door, when I spend time with God and hear how much He loves me, the love just shoves it right out the door. And the door shuts. It casts it out. It's stronger than fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves punishment. Someone who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. That's why we can walk in love. That's why we can love others. Because we know He first loved us. Okay? 1 John 4. 1 John 4. I happen to know this next section is one of Marty's favorite verses. And he said to him, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. So fear not, for I am with you." Isaiah 41. One of the main reasons that we don't fear is whatever the surprise is, whatever we're going through, He's with us. He never leaves us. We may not be able to always sense Him, but we know He is always with us. "Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." Does He lie? Are His promises sure? "I will help you." You know it's okay just to pray a one-word prayer, that when you experience a surprise, and you start to get fearful or anxious, all you have to do is say, "Help!" Really, one word. That's not difficult, is it? Okay? If you fell off of a boat out in the middle of the ocean, you would yell to the people up in the boat, "Help!" It's okay to do that. One word. "I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely, surely, surely," okay, folks, "surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." If He's upholding you and you're in His hand, can anything take you over? Can anything cause you to fear? He's upholding us. He is upholding. Isaiah 41, that was. He said, "O man of high esteem, fear not." That is throughout the Bible, folks. God knows that we go through situations that cause us to fear and be anxious. "Fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and courageous." As soon as He spoke that to me, I received strength. And I said, "May my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." When we call out to him, he responds by sending strength. He responds by sending strength. So today, do you need strengthened? Do you need strengthened? It's okay then to say, God, help! I need strengthened today. And I think he wants to do that. A few situations where Jesus addressed it. And then we're going to let him encourage us today. Let him bring us strength today. So did Jesus also realize that we have times that we're afraid? He absolutely did. So when he had finished speaking, this is Jesus, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." Just a quick side note. We can try and try and try to do things on our own effort. They fished all night. They knew how to fish. They were fishermen. They knew where they normally bite. They know how deep the water was. They knew what net to use. But then when God tells you to do it, and you obey, look at the difference of the result. They had caught nothing, nothing. Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." When we obey God. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish to the point that their nets began to break. That's a lot of fish. I mean, nets are made to catch and hold fish. But they caught so much that they began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, and they came and filled both boats. So much so that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. For I am a sinful man." Amazement had seized him. That word actually means he wasn't like just, "Oh, yay, this is wonderful." When he saw Jesus do a miracle, he was afraid. He was like, "Okay, I don't know who you are, and I don't know what just happened, but we fished all night and didn't catch anything, and now we have two boatfuls and it's starting to sink. Jesus, you scare me a little bit." Okay, this is not what I expected. And I know that they felt that way because of what Jesus says next. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be fishers of men." So I want you to hear him saying to you today, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I love you." Okay. So you know the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. He feeds the 5,000 and he says to his disciples, "Get into that boat down there on the lake, go to the other side, and I'll send the crowd away, and then I'm going to spend some time in prayer." So Jesus did that. He dismissed the crowd, sent them back home. They were full now. They had eaten. His disciples were going across the lake, and they started to get in a storm. Jesus was praying, and it says that he walked across the water on the lake toward their boat, and that he planned to walk past them and go ahead of them. But they saw him, and they thought he was a ghost, and they were afraid. So Jesus changed his plan of walking ahead of them to address their fear. Now, the interesting thing in my mind, at least this is the way I picture it, is if it said the wind was contrary, In other words, they were trying to get here, and the wind was not helping them on their way. The wind was contrary. So they were working to get through the wind. Well, Jesus wanted to go ahead of them. Now, if Jesus went ahead of the boat and the wind was contrary, was the wind going to stop Jesus? So in my mind, I think Jesus wanted to go ahead of them and make a way through the wind. But they were afraid, and he stopped and addressed the fear. It was evening, and the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars from where he was, interesting, for the wind was against them, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them, "Fear not, take courage, it is I." He got into the boat with them, the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. Jesus knows when we fear, and he's willing to stop what he's doing to address that fear. Okay, so we're getting ready to close. Where does fear come from? Does it come from God? No. 2 Peter 1:7. God has not given us, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and self-control. Power, love, and self-control. So it's not from God. Not from God. But he addresses it and tells us not to be afraid. So when you're in the midst of a storm and Jesus comes and speaks to that storm and it says that the wind stopped, that represents peace. Most of the time, what we need when we're afraid is peace. So where do we get peace? Who does it come from? Where do we dig it up? Where do we buy it? If peace is what we need. Jesus said. Jesus said. So if Jesus said something, is it true, folks? Okay. Peace I leave with you. He left, went up to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, but what did he leave here? Peace. What kind of peace? Whose peace? My peace I give to you. How much peace do you think Jesus has? And how strong do you think that peace is? He said, "My peace I give to you." I think that's a lot of peace. A lot of peace. Not as the world gives. See, the world's peace is based on there being no surprises. But life is full of surprises, things we don't expect to happen. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart continue to be troubled, nor let it be full of fear. See, he gets right to the point. Our hearts are troubled. And if we concentrate on that trouble, what happens? Our heart just fills up with more and more fear. So instead of the fear, what does he want to give us? Peace. Let's stand. We're going to do some exchanging today. If fear is not from him, and he knows we fear, and he tells us, "Don't be afraid, fear not," then he doesn't want us to keep the fear. But if our hearts are full of fear, there's no room for his peace. So we're just, as we close, we're going to do an exchange. We're going to give him that fear And then we're going to receive the peace that he said he left here for us and that he gave us. It's his peace, not like the world's peace, his peace. You ready, folks? All right. Well, Jesus, we stand before you today and we thank you that we can be real with you, that you know that we experience fear. When things happen that we didn't expect, when life deals us situations that we did not want, you said over and over and over again, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And we know fear is not from you. So Jesus, we hand to you today this fear that's inside of us. This sense of anxiety. Maybe it even feels like panic or despair. Maybe it's something that we've held on to for a long time and almost got comfortable with or used to having. But your word told us today that fear is not from you, and perfect love casts out all fear. And Jesus, you are perfect love, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So perfect love, we ask you to come today and cast out this fear, usher it out the back door, and then close the door. And Jesus, in that void, in that empty space, we want you to come. And we just receive your peace today. You said you left it for us and that you give it to us. And it's your peace, your peace. And we know your peace passes all understanding. It's a peace that calms every fear. It's a peace that settles every storm within us. And so today we say, Jesus, we accept that peace that you've extended to us. Let it fill us today. And as we leave here, we want to be obedient to your word to us. Fear not. Fear not. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us today. And the followers of Jesus said, amen. Amen. Have a great week, folks. Thanks.